Today's daf is Yuma daf Yud Dalet, and we have five lines from the bottom of daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis Tanu Rabbanan. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avadi ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Shmu ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi ben Fradel, Yaakov ben Rachel Chava, and Rafal Yitzchak Isaac ben Rechama. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Yecheskel Shraga ben Miral, and today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Avram ben Yibadol L'chaim Tovin Ramosha Chaim. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel. That's my uncle, Yossi Bornstein, my father's brother. Today is his first yahrzeit. He was a victim of the Magefa, and he was an Oisik B'tzarchei Tzibur Be'amuna, specifically for many years in the Sfaradish Shul in Borough Park. He was someone that lived his life with the motto of Kabed Es Hashem Mehoincha, Al Tikre Mehoincha, Elo Megroincha, for those who knew him. And may tonight's learning be an aliyah for his neshama. Zok de Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. So we're continuing to discuss Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, the very beginning of the Masechta, and that is that in preparation for Yom Kippur, not only was a backup Kohen Gadol prepared in the event that the Kohen Gadol became Tomei or Pasul, but Af Maskinin Isha Acheres. There had to be another wife prepared, Shemla Thomas Ishtai, because there was a concern that maybe the Kohen Gadol's wife is going to die, and that's a problem, because it says in the Torah, V'chiper Ba'adai Uva'ad Beisai, Beisai Zu Ishtai, and we learn from there that a Kohen Gadol is only able to do the Avodah if he's married. What happens if his wife is going to die? So there had to be a backup plan, literally. In this case, there was another woman that was prepared. We saw the Gemara and Daf Yud Gimel, which discussed how exactly did they do it. You can't simply prepare the other wife. The Kohen Gadol would have to be married to the other wife. To marry her before Yom Kippur, that's an issue because he can't have two wives. To marry her on Yom Kippur, that's an issue. How are you going to get married on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara came up with a whole convoluted cheshbon of exactly how it went down. The bottom line is, this Gemara is just a postscript to the more intense part of that sugya. And that is Tanu Rabbanan. We learned in a braisa, Kohen Gadol makriv oinein. The Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Avodah even when he's an Oinein. So an Oinein is an Avel, someone who loses one of the relatives for which he needs to sit Shiva. However, he's considered an Oinein up until the moment of the Kfura. So once the Kfura happens, at that point, the name changes from Oinein simply to Avel. Now, an Oinein is not allowed to do the Avodah. An Avel was allowed to do the Avodah, but a Kohen that was an Oinein was not allowed to do the Avodah. The one exception to that was the Kohen Gadol, and that's this price. A Kohen Gadol, Makriv Oinein. The Kohen Gadol was allowed to do the Avodah even if he's an Oinein. However, he's not allowed to eat Kachem if he's an Oinein. Rabbi Yehuda said very cryptically, Kol Hayo. So we have a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Chachamim say Kohen Gadol could do the Avodah as an Oinein, but he can't eat as an Oinein. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Kol Hayoim, the whole day. My Kol Hayoim, what does that even mean? On my Rabbi said, Le'nitzrucha el la'viya mitoich beisai. What Rabbi Yehuda was saying was, is not only is it okay for a Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah as an Oinein b'di'evet, meaning, if he's in the Beis HaMikdash anyway, so you might as well do the Avodah. But even if the Kohen Gadol's home, when he became an Oinein, Lahavia Mitoich Beisa, you could even bring him from his house back to the Beis HaMikdash to do the Avodah. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is stating Beloshein Haflaga, in an exaggerated way, how okay it is for a Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah when he's an Oinein. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya told Rabbi, his Rabbi, Hashtal Rabbi Yehuda, Afuki Mafkinon Le, we know Rabbi Yehuda's Shita when it comes to Oinein is actually very chomer. Now, Abaya is about to quote this Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The Shitas Rabbi Yehuda that Abaya is about to quote is in the context of Kohen Hedyet, which is not a perfect tzushtal to what we're talking about, because we're discussing Kohen Gadol, but at the same time, the point that Abaya is going to make will be self-explanatory. So it says, Abaya, you're telling me, Rabbi, that's what Rabbi Yehuda meant when he said Kol Hayoim, that it's so kuladik for a Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah as an Oinein, that even if he's not in the Beis HaMikdash, Kol Hayoim, you can bring him into the Beis HaMikdash. I don't feel like that's right. Why? The time we learned to the Brisa, oh, you're the mark of a Gabi Mizbeach. If a Kohen had it, not a Kohen Gadol, but a Kohen had it, was standing on top of the Mizbeach, the Shamash and Meisloy Meis, and he heard that he became an Oinain, a relative of his died. So the Halach is Maniach Avoidos, if he has to stop doing the Avoidah, leave the Beis Hamikdash, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi says Yigmar. He's allowed to finish doing the Avoidah. So you see that as it relates to an Oinain, Kohen had it, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi debated how far we should be machmer. Rabbi Yehuda was the machmer. He said he could be standing on the mizbeach about to do the avodah. It doesn't matter. The halach is niach avodah seviyotzi. He has to stop doing the avodah. He has to leave. Rabbi Yossi was mekel. So isn't it interesting? Abaye said that Rabbi Yehuda, who's so machmer when it comes to koyin hedyet bayoyne, would be the one that would be so mekel when it comes to koyin gadol bayoyne. Now the Rishonim struggle to understand the Gemara because maybe koyin hedyet luchod and koyin gadol luchod. But the point Abaye is making is that if you see Rabbi Yehuda was machmer when it comes to Hilchas Oinein and Avoida by Kohen Hedit, it's mistaber that he wouldn't be so makel when it comes to Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, Ela my Rava. So Rava therefore said a different shot. Michael, what did Rabbi Yehuda mean when he said, just the opposite. It's Rabbi Yehuda Lashitasa. Just like Rabbi Yehuda was machmer when it comes to a Kohen Hedit Oinein, Rabbi Yehuda's being machmer when it comes to a Kohen Gadol Oinein as well. Meaning, the Chachamim said, Kohen Gadol Makriv Oinein. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Kol Hayoyim, he can't be Makriv Oinein. Why not? Gzeira Shem Yoichal. It's not Midiraisa. It's only Midirabanan. It's a Gzeira. Sometimes Chazal made Gzeirois even in the Beis HaMikdash, despite the fact that we know the rule is Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. But Gzeira Shem Yoichal. Because being that an Oinein is only allowed to do the Avoida, but he's not allowed to eat kachim, Chazal were concerned that if he's going to do the avoida, he may come to eat the kachim. So that's Rava's pshat in what Rabbi Yehuda meant. Amalei Rav Ada Bar Ahava the Rava. So Rav Ada Bar Ahava heard Rava's pshat. And he turned to Rava and he said, Amigal, Rabbi Yehuda Shema Yoichal. Could it be that's pshat in this cryptic statement of Rabbi Yehuda of Kol Hayoyim? That Rabbi Yehuda's saying to the Chachamim that even though really a Kohen Gadol should be able to be Makriv Oinein, but being that he can't eat as an Oinein, don't let him do the Avoida because he may come to eat it. If that's the case, I don't understand another Rabbi Yehuda, Unzere Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda of Yuma Dav Bez. But now we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, Avisha Cheres Maskin Eloi, Shema Thomas Ishtoi. Rabbi Yehuda said that the Kohen Gadol had to have a backup plan for a wife on Yom Kippur because what happens if his wife dies? He has to be married. The Chiper Bade Ubad Bezoi. So Freak Rav Ada Bar Now, it's clear that the whole purpose of having this other wife is, so like this, even if the Kohen Gadol's wife dies, it won't interfere with his Avoida. He'll be able to continue to do the Avoida because he's going to have this other wife that he's not married, that he's now married to. What was Rav Ada Bar Ahava's kasha of like Gazer Rabbi Yehuda Shema Yoichal? Why is he allowed to do the Avoida? As soon as his wife dies, he's going to be an Oinein. If he's an Oinein, he shouldn't be able to do the Avoida. Now you're going to tell me, what do you mean? An Oinein's allowed to do the Avoida. Yeah, but this is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda said cryptically, Kol Hayoyim when it comes to Oinein. And you, Rava, said, what did he mean when he said Kol Hayoyim? He can't do the Avoida. Because if you don't mean the Reis, he could, it's a Gzeira Shema Yoichal. So if there's a Gzeira Shema Yoichal, so this should be a Gzeira Shema Yoichal and Yumadav Beis. So what's Rabbi Yehuda saying? Shema Thomas Ishtoi, don't worry about it, he'll have another wife. No, if his wife dies, it's over. He can't do the Avoida anymore. Why? You can figure out a way with lawyers so that he should have another wife with all the tanayim in the world. But at the end of the day, isn't he an Oinein? And if he's an Oinein, he should have a problem. Amaleh, Rava told Rav Ada Bar Ahava, what kind of kasha is that? Hachi hash, the hosam over the kima di Yom HaKippurim, who truly amaleh ka'achli, our Mishnah is discussing Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, nobody eats. So you're going to tell me, Gzeira Shema Yoichal? What kind of Gzeira Shema Yoichal could there be on Yom Kippur? Who nami le yasal anecha? Why are we afraid he's getting hacha, the kuli ama achli? No. Over here, it's a regular day in the Beis HaMikdash, where everybody's doing the avoid, everybody's eating. Rachmana Litzvan, this person is dealing with a personal tzara. He now became an oinein. Oh, he became an oinein. Everyone's eating. You want to tell him not to eat, but do the avoida? Who nami yasal anecha? We're concerned that over here, maybe there's going to be an issue. So Rava told Rav Ada Bar Ahava, maybe Rabbi Yehuda Alma is concerned that an Oinein shouldn't be able to do the Avoida because he may come to eat, but on Yom Kippur, you don't have to be worried about that. Because on Yom Kippur, nobody eats. So why would you think that an Oinein doing the Avoida should be a problem? But the Gemara asks one final question, a geshmaka question in light of yesterday's daf, and that is, V'chihai gavna michailo leo aninus. What kind of conversation was this between Rava and Rav Ada Bar Ahava? Rav Ada Bar Ahava said, the Kohen Gadol, if his wife dies, is going to be an Oinein. No, he's not. The Gemara came out, the maskana, that the way this works is he marries a second wife, gives the second wife a get, gives the first wife a get as well. Now, both gittin were given al hatnai, true, but even the first wife's get, which was al hatnai, was al menashe ikonis bebeis haknesses, which in the Gemara made sense. He would have to go to the Beis HaKnesses to retroactively annul his marriage so that, like this, in the event that his wife died during the day, it wouldn't impact the avodah. But the point that we need for our Gemara right now is not the actual cheshbon. He divorced his wife. So if he divorced his wife, he's not anointed anymore. So what kind of kasha was this? Rav Adbarahav asked Ravo, how can you tell me Rabbi Yehuda holds that an oymen is not allowed to do the avodah gzeres shem yoichal? What about Yom Kippur? You see, Rabbi Yehuda allows the Kohen Gadol to do the avodah on Yom Kippur as long as he has another wife. L'chayri is an oymen when his first wife died. No, he's not. He divorced her. So if he gave her a get, they're not related anymore. They're not married anymore. So if that's the case, he's not anointed. So what was the kasha? So the Gemara says, no, Rav Adbarahav and Ravo, for that matter, the reason they had this exchange is because they felt nehidan ninus lechaylolel. Through the Miloy Mitzvah. It's true. He's technically not an Oinein. But let's be honest, they were very happily married. The only reason he gave his wife this get was to figure out a way to make the Yom Kippur Avodah work. But really, in terms of the relationship, it's a marriage technically, and as a result, even though really he's not anointing the Kohen Gadol, but the Svara of Aninus certainly would apply. The spirit of Aninus would be relevant. And that's where Rabbi Rahava held that this Rabbi Yehuda should be a Raya, not like Rava's Pshat. And that was Rava's response. He said that ordinarily, maybe Rabbi Yehuda's Chayesh, that an Oinin should be able to do the Avodah, even a Kohen Gadol, it's not something you have to worry about. Either way. So this is a classic example where the Gemara brings an unrelated discussion to the sugya that we're learning, only because it's nageya a little bit our sugya. And that is the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding the status of a Kohen Gadol that's an Oinin. A Kohen that's an Oinin cannot do the avodah. The Mishnah in the beginning of the second paragraph of Masechtas Zvachim that goes through all the psulei avodah. It's a very important Mishnah in the world of Kachin. It goes through in one Mishnah all the different psulim. It mentions oinein. An oinein is a pasul. Just like a tamei can't do the avodah, an oinein can't do the avodah either. The exception to the rule is a kohen gadol. Kohen gadol, even when he's an oinein, is allowed to do the avodah. However, he's einoi oichel. Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rava understood, and that seems to be the maskana Zagamara, argued with this halachi. He said, I agree with Deiraisa, a kohen gadol is allowed to do the avodah as an oinein, but being that he can't eat, if you allow him to do the avodah, there's a gzera shema yoicha. What was the shaychus to our sugya? Because our sugya, there seems to be a scenario where Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow the Kohen Gadol as an oinein to do the avodah. Why aren't you worried? Shema Yoichal. And on that, the Gemara's teretz was because it's Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, nobody's eating. I mean that nobody's eating Yom Kippur. As a result, you don't have to worry about it. Either way, the second Mishnah in the Masechta. So the Mishnah said, Shivas Yomim Koidim Yemak Yipurim. So for 7 days, the Kohen Gadol was quarantined. Where? In Lishkas Parhedrin. It was in the Azara. Maybe it was Chayil. How could he sleep there? In Yeshiva Bazara. Ela L'malchus Beis David Dovat. Rashi, Toisfis. Some of the raid that we talked about. So what did Kohen Gadol do for 7 days? So that's what our Mishnah is going to begin to discuss. Kol Shevas Hayomim. All 7 days that the Kohen Gadol was in Lishkas Parhedrin. He used to do the Avodah. Hu Zorek Es Adam. He would do Zrika. Hu Makter Es HaKtoris. He would burn the Ktoris. Hu Meitev Es Haneirois. He would clean the Menorah, umakriv esarosh ve'esaregel, and he would be makriv the head and the feet of the carbon oil. Ushar kol hayomim, as it relates to any other day of the year, imratz lahakriv makriv. Kohen Gadol wanted to do these avodas, or any avodas for that matter, he had a right to do it, but he didn't have to do it. And the reason the Kohen Gadol can, if he wanted to, a very important line in Kachim, she Kohen Gadol makriv chelik b'roish, v'noitel chelik b'roish, because the Kohen Gadol was allowed to do any avoda that he wanted to, if he so pleased. And he was noitel chelik barosh. Anytime there was a yachloiku with all the different foods that were being distributed in the Beis HaMikdash, so the Kohen Gadol always had a right to be noitel chelik barosh. He was able to take a mana yafa. He could always take a good portion for himself if that's what he chose to do. So ordinarily, the Kohen Gadol didn't have to do the avodah. It was his right, but it's not something he had to do. But kol shivas hayomim, during these 7 days, hu zorek es adam, hu makter es haktoris, hu meitev es haneiros, hu makriv es harosh ves harek. Why? Why is this important? It's because on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol had to do the Avodah. That was the one day of the year that he did have to do the Avodah. So we had to make sure that he was trained and he knew what to do. And as we've mentioned already, that we sort of take for granted that the Kohen Gadol knew how to do the Avodah. But in the world of Bayesheni, as we're going to talk more about now in the coming days, it certainly wasn't something that we can necessarily assume for sure was the case. And that's why there had to be some training period to do basics. Zriko, Haktaro, Ktoiris, Hatovas Hasaneiros. So he had a Kohen showing him around. This is what you do. This is how you clean it. This is how you do the Haktaro. He might be an Amoritz Toiraisa Mamish. And as a result, we have to make sure that this person simply knows how to do the Avodah. Zokta Gemara, Mantana. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah? What did the Mishnah say? Didn't seem to say anything that controversial. The Mishnah said that for 7 days, we train in the Kohen Gadol, we allow him to do the Avodah. The Gemara says, ooh, this is a very big Chiddush. In fact, not everybody would agree with this halacha. Says the Gemara, so much so, I'm Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, like Rabbi Akiva, this Mishnah is the like Rabbi Akiva. And anytime a Stam Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva, it's worth mentioning. And the Gemara does. The reason is because Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir, Aliba the Rabbi Akiva. Rav Meir was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. He was one of the 5 Talmidim that Rabbi Akiva taught Torah to after his 24,000 Talmidim passed away during the Yemei HaSfira. So the Gemara says in Masech Tzivanis, after his 24,000 Talmidim died, he left the north, he went down south, and he started teaching Torah again to 5 Talmidim. And all 5 of his Talmidim ended up being the leaders of the future of Klal Yisrael and really the pillars of Torah Shebaal Peh. Uberoishon was Rav Meir, but Rav Meir, who Stam Mishnah, was the Stam Mishnah Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. It was the Torah that it was Makal from Rabbi Akiva. So if you have a Stam Mishnah, which this Mishnah is, doesn't mention any names of Tanan, you usually would assume it's Rabbi Akiva. So if it's not like Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara points it out. So Rav Chisda said, this Mishnah is the like Rabbi Akiva. How do I know that? Rabbi Akiva. Because if it's Rabbi Akiva, Omar Torah Shanaf, Olav Hazah, Timatu, is Heichi Ovid Avoido. Rabbi Akiva has a Shita that says that if someone Tahar had the water and the ashes of the Parah Adumah sprinkled on him, the halach is he becomes Tameh. So we know what the Afer of the Parah Adumah was for. It was meant to be Metayer Tmeyim. If someone was Tameh Tumas Meis, the only way for him to be Tahar is through the Parah Adumah. So the Parah Adumah, this ritual that took place, not in the Beis HaMikdash, but on Harazesim, it was used to be Metayer people that were Tameh Tumas Meis. Rabbi Akiva has a Chiddush in Shas, and that is that just like the Parah Adumah had the ability to be Metaher Tmeyim, it also had the ability to be Metame Tahara. What's the point? The point is that we learned earlier in the Masechta that during the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol was quarantined, they would take from the Parah Adumah and they would sprinkle it on the Kohen Gadol. The reason is to make sure that when Yom Kippur comes, he wouldn't be Tamei Tumas Meis. We have no idea where this Kohen Gadol was. He himself may not know. So to be 100% certain, so what we did was, is we would take from the Parah Adumah and we would sprinkle it on the Kohen Gadol. You know what the problem is? The problem is that in the event that he's Tahar, he now just became some Amar of Shachis Tameh. If he was Tameh, he's Tameh. And even if he was Tahar, he just became Tameh. So the Gemara says, how could the Mishnah say, Gishmak kol shivasayam muzarik asadama makdus akhtaris, who made the Vesaneris, who makdus vesarish vesaregel, he's Tameh. And if he's Tameh, he should be able to do the Avodah. What do you mean he's Tameh? We just locked him up. We have a close eye on him. We're guarding him. Oh, yeah. The reason is because we're being mazah on him from the Efer of the Parah Adumah. And Rabbi Akiva Shita is that it was Metameh Satar. Natanya, what's the Makar to this Rabbi Akiva? Vihiza Hatar. It says in the Torah that you should take from the Mechatos Vihiza Hatar Alatami. A Tar should come and he should spritz it on top of a Tami. Alatami Tar. Rabbi Akiva learned from there that if the water was spritzed on someone Tami, he becomes Tar. But Alatar Tami, but if it was put on someone tar, he becomes tummy. The Rebbe Chachamim argue. They learned something from this pasuk, but something else. What the pasuk is coming to say is that the only time a hazah is considered a hazah, we'll see what this means in a minute, the only time it's considered a hazah is if the hazah was done on something that's mekabel tumah. But if the hazah was done on something that's not mekabel tumah, it's not considered a hazah. So the Gemara says, Mayhi, what does that mean? We learned to the mission, Schaven hazah ala behemo, viz ala adam. If someone had in mind to be mazer from the Parah Adumah on a behemo, it ended up going on a adam. So the halach is in the yesh be'ezoiv. If there's still a little bit of mayim on the ezoiv, on the grass That was the implement that was used to do the hazah. Yishne, then you could do another hazah. If the kavana was to do it on the other, and instead it ended up happening on behemoth, if you have a little bit left over on the ezav, then you can't go ahead and you can't be mishanet. So it says in the Torah, v'hizeh hatar ala tameh. And there's a drasha here. The Gemara is going to explain what the drasha is in a second. There's some sort of drasha. And for now, the Gemara brought machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. What drasha was supposed to take from there? Rabbi Akiva said, "V'hizeh atar ala tamei." We learn from those words that if the hazal was done on a tamei, he becomes tar. But the inverse is also true. If it was done on a tahar, he's going to become tamei. Very straightforward. Chachamim learned a different halacha. Chachamim learned from me that the only time a hazal is considered a hazal is if it was done on someone or something that's mekabel tumah. If the hazal was done on something that's not mekabel tumah, it won't be considered a hazal. What's the significance? The significance is, the Gemara said it, but the way Rashi explains it is, the halacha is that you weren't allowed to do any avoida with the paraduma. If any avoida was done with the paraduma, or even the water of the paraduma, it would be a problem. So here's the question. The question is, if you do a hazah with the mechatas, and it turns out that it wasn't a technical, it wasn't a legal hazah, so it could be that not only wasn't a good hazah, but it's actually going to backfire. Because it comes out you did some sort of avoida with it. And to the extent it wasn't a hazah, it's an avoida. If it's an avoida, it messes up the water that you just spritz. Now, it's not going to mess up the entire paraduma. But at the very least, any mayim, any shirayim that you have on the ezoiv, that would be a problem. So the chachamim darshan from the pasuk v'hizeh atar ala tameh, that the only time it's considered a hazah is if it was ala tameh, if it was something that was mekabel tumah. But if you did a hazah on something that's not mekabel tumah, it's not a hazah. If it's not a hazah, l'may nafkimina, it comes out it's a avoida that you weren't allowed to do, which messes up the shirayim, which means that if there's any leftover water, you can't use it. You would have to go do a new dip and take out fresh water, and that's what you would have to use. Bottom line, machloikis Rabbi Akiva the Chamu, what to darshan from the words v'hizeh atar ala tameh. Going to Rabbi Akiva, that someone that's tameh that has the mechatas poured on it becomes tahar. Someone that's tahar actually becomes tamei. According to Chacham, it teaches me this halacha that the only time a hazah is considered a legal hazah is if it's on something that's mekabel tumah. The mind of me, if you did it on a behemoth, for example, which is not mekabel tumah, it's a nitkain hazah. And if it's not a hazah, it comes out it's an avayda. And that's his every talk. My time, Rabbi Akiva. What was Rabbi Akiva's source? Nichtav Rachmanos. Rabbi Akiva held it. Torah should have said the hizah atar olav maya la tamei. Those words are extra. The hizah atar ala tamei. Obviously, you're doing the hazah on a tamei. It should have just said olav. Why did it say ala tamei? Shma mina ala tamei tar. Valatar Tom, it's coming to teach me. Not only on a Tomei would the person become Tar, but to the contrary, if it was on a Tar, the person would be Tar. Rabbanon, what did the Rabbanon do with this drasha? Oh, there halacha, Haile Dvar, Mamakablin Tuma, who does? It's coming to teach me. He's a Tar Allah Tomei. The only time it's considered Azah is if it was on something that's Mekabal Tuma. But as relates to your halacha, Rabbi Akiva, you want to tell me that the Mei chatas that goes on a tahar is going to make the person tamei? How could that be? Kal v'chaim, it's inconsistent with one of the yud gomel midrash atayr and adreshes pen. Im ala tamei tahar, ala tahar the kolshkein, madach, if the mei chatas goes on a tamei, becomes tahar. Certainly on a tahar, he should be tahar. Rabbi Akiva, what is Rabbi Akiva going to respond? So the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva said, I don't have a response. I'll be honest with you, it's true. You're 100% right. It's illogical what I'm saying. How could the Efer of the Paraduma be Metar Tmeim and be Metar Metar? But Hainu the Kamash Shloima. But this kasha that you're asking, this was Shloima HaMelech's own Tzorichi and Gadol Hashem Yoreinai. He didn't even know Pshat. That's what he meant when he said, Amarti Echkema Vahiru Chaykamimani. What was so elusive about Paraduma that Shloima HaMelech couldn't understand? This halacha, Sarah Bekiva, my halacha, that the Paraduma is Metar Tmeim, but it's Metamet V'Rabbanon. What did the Rabbanon mean? What did the Rabbanon think was so puzzling to Shlomo HaMelech when he said, "Amarti echgama v'hiru chaykemi many ulamaza ulamazan olav tahar"? Really, any person that has the paraduma spritzed on him is going to be tahar. Even a tahar. What was puzzling was is that the negei behen is tameh. The halachna is that if someone touches it, he becomes tameh, and that's what Shlomo HaMelech couldn't understand. And here you have somebody that has the ability to be metaher, yet if somebody touches it, he's not, meaning not if it was spritzed on somebody, is that person going to be tameh. That's Rabbi Kiva's chiddush that Rabbanan disagree with. What is true and what is difficult to understand, and what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said, Amarti echgam of Yeruchaykim imani, is not that, but it's something similar. It's me'inyan le'inyan ba'yus inyan. And that is, Negeya behem is going to be tameh. So Rabbanan just said that the mazeh and the mazen olav atar, the one that spritzes with the mechatas, he remains tar. the Mazin Olav, whether he was Tomei Atar, he's going to be Tar, but the Negeim is going to be Tomei. So the Gemara digresses for a second. Mazin Tar, is that true? The person that's Mazin Tar, except it's a Pasuk. It says, Mazin Mehan Nidi Chavis Begadav. The Pasuk says, for sure, the one that did the Azah, he had to wash his clothing, obviously he's Tomei. So the Gemara says, my Mazin Negeia. When the Pasuk says, Mazin Met Negeia, the person that touches it. Right, the Gemara, Vaksim, Mazin Vaksim Negeia. Go through the Psukim. The Psukim actually talk about the person that's Mazin, and the Psukim talk about the one that was Negeia. So number one, it says Mazah, it says Negeah. And not just that, the Aloch is even different. The Mazah is Yechabes Begadav. He has to wash his clothing. The Negeah just says Yitma Da'arif. It doesn't say anything about washing clothing. Elamai Mazah, Noisa. You're right, Mazah. That the Chachamim meant, they didn't mean Mazah literally, rather they meant Noisa. Someone that carries the Mechatas. Why then would the Torah say Mazah, let it say Noisa? My time except Mazah. To be in on Shiraz, meaning really the Mazah is going to be Tahar. When the Torah said Mazah, it didn't mean literally the person that does the Azah, but rather it's referring to someone that carries. Just like a Negeya is Tame, so too a Noise, someone that carries the Mechatas, is going to be Tame. So again, the question is, if Mazah means Noise, then why the Torah say Mazah? The Torah should have said Noise. Now there's a Chiddush to be in on Shiraz. That there's a shear, a hazah, of how much water you have to sprinkle on. Like, is there a shear, how much water you have to sprinkle on the tummy? Oh, yeah, there's a shear, a hazah. Hanichah, manda mazah, tzrich hashir. That's a big shayla in Shas. That's all good according to manda mazah, that holds hazah, need shear. Elam manda mazah, tzrich hashir. Ma'yik lomim, but according to manda mazah, hazah doesn't need shear. So why, according to Rabbanah, would the Torah use the word mazah to describe noise? Why are you saying it's the wrong word? Zakti Gemara, afidu l'manda mazah, tzrich hashir. Even manda mazah, that holds hazah, doesn't require shear. Hani mili akabe de gavre. There's no shear, how much of the water has to go on the person. Aval b'mana tzrich. But everybody agrees there's a shear of how much has to be in the keli. So you take the agudas ezev, you dip it into a keli, and then you spritz it on the tummy. So there's no shear how much has to go on the person. But in the keli itself, there is a shear. Zokta Gemara. Okay. And the Tanan, what's the makar to this? The Mishnah said, how much do you have to have in order for it to be a hazah? Meaning, what's the shear of how much mime you have to have in the keli? Enough that if you want to take the ezev, you wouldn't have to scrape the edges of the keli in order to get some mechatas on it, but you'd be able to dip it in, it'd be nice and liquidy, and you'd be able to get mechatas. That's what the shear is. But the point is there's a shear. And because there's a shear, that's why the Torah, instead of saying the word noise, said the word mazeh, to teach me that there is a shear, and the shear is the shear hazah. So what did we just do? We digressed a little bit, but we began with a diuk. The Mishnah said, for the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol was away, Rav Chisda said, that means this Mishnah is not Rabbi Akiva. Can't be, because Rabbi Akiva holds that just like the Mechatas had an ability to be Metayr to me, someone that was Tomei Tumas Meis, Paraduma, that was Metayrim, but the same Paraduma was Metame the Tahirim. Now this Kohen Gadol, if he has the Paraduma being spritzed on him for 7 days, he's Tomei for those 7 days. Because even if he was Tahar, now he became Tame. So he's Tame. If he's Tame, he can't do the Avodah. So Rav Chisda said, if that's the case, it's clear that the Mishnah is the Loiker Rabbi Akiva. Who must the Tana the Mishnah be? The Chachamim. Who's the Chachamim? Oh, that was the balance of Yudal and Amin Aleph. The Chachamim that instead of darshaning v'hiza Torah la Tame to teach me that the Paradum is Metame Tahirim, they darshan v'hiza Torah la Tame to teach me something else. That Hazah is only Hazah if it landed on a Dover on the Kabbal Tumo. But if somebody, the Kohen, would take a little bit of mechata, spritz it, the schadin to do it on an adam, and ended up on a behema, it's not a hazal. The mainaf gemina, you can't reuse that water that's on the grass right now, because it's shirayim from an avoida that was possible. You can't do any avoida with a parah adam. But regardless, Rav Chisda said, the Mishnah is not Rabbi Akiva. Abaya, Abaya argued with Rav Chisda. He said, afilu tem Rabbi Akiva. Maybe the Tana, the Mishnah, really is Rabbi Akiva. The Ovid avoida kule yoima. Maybe really you could do the avoida the whole day. Ulapanya madu aleha, and this hazah will be done right before sunset. Okay, immediately v'tavil, he'll go to the mikvah. V'avid harav shamish, the sun will set, and the next morning he'll be tar again to be able to do the avoida. We control when this kohen gadol is going to be tamei. He'll be tamei. Rabbi Akiva said he'll be tamei. Zaktabai b'seder. We're being matame him 7 days straight. But this tumah that he's having is not tumas meis. What's the tumah? The Tumas Erev. There's a halacha. There's a din tuma that he becomes tamei. But that's Tumas Erev, said Abaya. And if that's Tumas Erev, so he doesn't have to be tamei for very long. So let him do the avoida. He finished doing the avoida. It's the afternoon already. He brought the Ketayr Shabbein Arbayim. There's nothing to do anymore. So now he's going to have it spritzed on him. He'll go to the mikveh. The sun will set the next morning. He'll be tired again. So why does the Mishnah have to be delayed to Rabbi Akiva? Because he did the avoida for 7 days. Why is that an issue? 7 days he became Tommy. 7 days he went to the mikveh. 7 days he had Erev Shemesh. Every time he became Tommy, he only became Tommy for the remainder of the day. Like this, the next day he was able to do the avodah. So machloik is Rav Chizda and Abaya, whether the Mishnah is dafka the like Rabbi Akiva, or like Abaya said, the Mishnah could be even according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Mishnah said, Kol Shiva Zion for the 7 days, who Zerik is Adam, who Makter is Akhtoiris, who Meitav is Haneiros, who Makriv is Haroish for is Haregos. Okta Gemara. Could we be medayik the order of the Mishnah? Zorik es Adam first, then it says Makter es Haktoiris, then it says Meitev es Haneiros, and then it says Makrev es Haroish ves Haregel. So the Gemara says, Am the Ketoiris, Bresh v'ad Haneiros. The Mishnah mentioned first the Ketoiris, and then the Neiros. Viraminu, I'll ask you a kashno from a Mishnah Masechtes Tomid. The Mishnah Masechtes Tomid is describing the avoida that took place, Tomid. The avoida that took place every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. And this is really the first time that we're going to delve into Masechtas Tamid a little bit. And the truth is, there's going to be a lot of crossover between Masechtas Yuma and Masechtas Tamid. And the reason is because Masechtas Yuma discusses in great detail the Avodah that the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur. Masechtas Tamid discusses the Avodah that was done every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. There were similarities, but there were also differences. So the Gemara a little bit is going to compare and contrast some of the Avodah that took place Yom Kippur and some of the Avodah that took place every day. So whereas Masechtas Tamid describes the Avodah that happened Tamid, Masechtas Yuma discusses the Avodah that happened on one day, Yuma, on the Vayyere Vayyvayke Yoy Mechot. So they parallel each other a little bit, but with nuances, as we're going to see in the Sogyas. But Okta Gemara, I'll ask you a kasha from the Mishnah Masechtes Yuma to a Mishnah Masechtes Tamid. Mishnah Zachar Padishim is Be'ech HaPnimi, the Kayin that won the Geirol. We'll see a lot more about the Geirolis. But high level, there was a Geirol that was made, Geirol, several, every single day to determine which Kayin would get to do the Avodah. So whichever Kayin won the Geirol of doing the Disha Mizbech, so it says the Mishnah, the one that was the one that got to clean the Mizbech HaPnimi, Umisha Zachar B'Menoira, the one that got to do the Menoira, Umisha Zachar B'Ketoiris. So we just want one thing from this Mishnah. Is there an order? Disha Mizbech HaPnimi, Menoira, and Ketoiris. It sounds like first the Menoira, then the Ketoiris. Not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Kol Shiva Sayyam, Muzarik HaSadam, Umakter, HaKetoiris, Medev HaSaneiris. First the Ketoiris and then the Neiris. And from this Mishnah, it's Mashma Faker. It's Mashma first the Menoira and then the Ketoiris. That's the Stira. So it's not really like the Mishnah ever said Mefurish that first Ketoiris, then the Menoira, and then first Menoira, then the Ketoiris, and the Mela, we have this blatant Stira. But in both Mishnayas, the Tana, the Mishnah, is describing the Avodas that happened, and you would assume that it's being described in sequence, in chronological order, in the way that it actually happened. So our Mishnah mentions first the Ketoiris, and then the Neiris, and the Mishnah in Masechtes Tamid said Faket. First it said the Menoira, and then it said the Ketoiris. And Rav Funes said, Man Tana Tamid, Rav Shimon HaMitzvi. You have to say that the Tana, the Mishnah Masechtes Yuma, and the Tana, the Mishnah Masechtes Tamid are two different Tanoim. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Akiva, but it's a Stam Mishnah. The Mishnah Masechtes Tamid is Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. Faith to Gemara, can't be Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. You know, we know about Ibcha Shamina Law, because I have a Raya Zok to Gemara from another Mishnah Masechtes Tamid, that Mishnah is not Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. So if that other Mishnah that we're about to quote in Masechtes Tamid is not Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, it's Mestabe that this Mishnah is also not Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. So what's that other Mishnah? Tam Bola, the Kerem Mizrach HaSafinis. So the Mishnah over there is describing the Koye. Not the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen, it's Masechtes Tamid, it's the Avodah that happened every day in the Beis HaMikdash, who's doing the Zrika for the Karbin Oila, the Karbin Tamid. So it says, he came to the Mizrachis Tzafayna's corner of the Mizbeach, Noisim Mizrachis Tzafayna, and he did one Hazah, one Zrika, on the Tzafayna's Mizrachis corner, and he tried angling it away that it would touch a little bit of the Mizrach side and a little bit of the Tzafin side. Then he went Maravas Deroimis. He went to the Meirav Darim corner. Noisim Marava Deroimis did the same exact thing. He did one Zrika, Achashe Yishtayim, to make it touch a little Meirav, a little Tani, I love it, into the Brais of Shimon HaShem Mitzvah, Mishana Betomet. He had a different understanding of how this happened. He learned Mizrachis Tefainis first. The Kohen went to Mizrachis Tefainis. So far, it's the same as the Tana of the Mishnah. And Noisim Mizrachis Tefainis. He did one Zrika that went on Mizrach, went on Tzav. Then he went to Marava's Deroimis. Noisim Marava. He did a little bit on Mairiv. Vachach Noisim Deroimis. He did a little bit on Darim. That's a difference. Because the Tana of the Mishnah Masechtas Talmud said it was the Achashi Shtayim in Tefainis Mizrachis. And it was Achashi Shtayim in Marava's Deroimis. Rav Shimon Isham Mitzvah had it differently. He had an Achashi Shtayim in Tefainis Mizrachis, but when he came to Marav's Dormis, he did two. He did a little bit on Mairiv, a little bit on Dorim. Why? So that's going to be the topic of tomorrow's daf, or part of the topic of tomorrow's daf. But the bottom line is, you see from that Mishnah, Masechtas Talmud, that it's not Rav Shimon Isham Mitzvah. So we have a steer between our Mishnah, Mishnah, Masechtas Talmud, I'm Rav Huna Leikasha, our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. That Mishnah is Rav Shimon Isham Mitzvah. We have a Raya that the Mishnayas and Masechtas Talmud are not Rav Shimon Isham Mitzvah. Because that Mishnah is part of a whole sequence of events that's described, and one of those events is clearly not Rav Shimon Isham Mitzvah, because the Mishnah over there described the way the Zrika was done with the Karban Talmud, Rav Shimon Isham Mitzvah, and Abraisa said it was done differently. Elam Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yechon said, no, you have to say just the opposite for Rav Huna said. Man Tana say the Yoyma, Rav Shimon Isham Mitzvah, not the Mishnah Masechtas Talmud is Rav Shimon Isham Mitzvah, but the Mishnah Masechtas Yoyma, Masechtas Yuma, that's Rav Shimon Isham Mitzvah. You're right, that Mishnah can't be Rav Shimon Isham Mitzvah, because you have a riot from another Mishnah. It's under a Mishnah, but that's the teretz to the steer. You're right. This seems to be a contradiction. The Mishnah Masechtas Yuma seems to suggest first Keteris, then Neiris. The Mishnah Talmud seems to suggest first Neiris and then Keteris. Isn't it a steer? No. Our Mishnah Masechtas Yuma is Rav Shimon Isha Mitzvah. The Mishnah Masechtas Talmud is Dafka not Rav Shimon Isha Mitzvah. The Gemara is going to continue with this discussion deep into tomorrow's daf, but we're going to stop here. So just two ha'aris as it relates to today's daf, and a little bit of Inyana D'Yayma. So we began today's daf with a braisa. Koyin gadol makriv oinein ve'eino yoichol. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol hayoin. A koyin gadol is allowed to do the avodah as an oinein. It's a very big chiddush. Because really a koyin is not allowed to do the avodah as an oinein. An oinein is a psul. Just like tum is a psul, aninus is a psul. But just like tumma is a psul that's hutra michlaloi, aninus is also a psul that's hutra michlaloi. So a Tomei is not allowed to do the avoida, but Tomei Hotshu B'Tzibur, Tomei Tchoye B'Tzibur, there are times that a Tomei is allowed to do the avoida. An Oinein is not allowed to do the avoida, but an Oinein at times can. When is that? The Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol that's an Oinein is allowed to do the avoida. He can't eat kachin. Rabbi Yehuda said that because he can't eat kachin, he shouldn't be doing the avoida either. Gzeira Shem Yoichel. This is an example where Chazal made a Gzeira even in the Beis HaMikdash, where there was a Yeshvus B'Mikdash. Gzeira Shem Yoichel. We don't want the Kohen Gadol doing the avoida. What does that have to do with Masechtas Yuma? Because the Gemara has the Kashna. If Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Oinein is not allowed to do the avoida, then what Rabbi Yehuda accomplished by having a second wife for the Kohen Gadol, Shem Thomas Ishtar? If his wife dies, isn't he going to be an oinein anyways? And if he's an oinein, he shouldn't be able to do the avodah. That was the Gemara's kasha. But the halacha is that a kohen hedyot is not allowed to do the avodah as an oinein, but a kohen gadol is allowed to do the avodah as an oinein. The question is why? What's the difference between a kohen hedyot and a kohen gadol? And the truth is, if you think about it, it's hepech hasfara. It's counterintuitive. A kohen gadol is more kadosh, so you would think that his kedusha is more sensitive, and a kohen gadol as an oinein. If aninus is a problem for the lesser level of kedushas kohuna, you would think it would certainly get in the way. It would certainly disturb the greater kedusha of the kohen gadol. But what's the pshat that a kohen hedyot is not allowed to do the avodah as an oinein, but a kohen gadol is allowed to do the avodah as an oinein? So we know, and this is really this week's parsha, parshas emor. It begins with the parsha of the kohanim. And the parasha begins talking about all the halachas of a kohen hedyot, and then it shifts and talks about the halachas of the kohen gadol. One of the differences between a kohen hedyot and a kohen gadol is all kohanim are not allowed to be metame to a meis. It's one of the halachas of a kohen. A kohen can't go to a beis hakfaras because a kohen is not allowed to be metame to a meis. However, a kohen hedyot is allowed to be metame to one of his kraven. A kohen gadol is more chamor. A kohen gadol is not allowed to be metama even to one of his kraven. Now, if you ask the man on the street, what's the pshat? A kohen hedyot is allowed to be metama to one of his kraven. A kohen gadol is not. I'll say it's pashnet. A kohen hedyot is not as kaddish as a kohen gadol. A kohen can't be metama to a mace. Why? Obviously, because there's something about the tumah that emanates from a mace that is at odds with the kedusha of a kohen. So kohen is a kaddish, and he has to stay away from tumah. And a mace is an avia avos hatumah. And as a result, a kohen who's kaddish is not allowed to go anywhere near a mace. Okay, so it makes sense then. You could hear a kohen gadol who's so kaddish. Not only can he be metamet to a mace, but he can't even be metamet to his kreif. We can't make an exception even for the kreif. As opposed to a kohen hedyet, who's less tame, and because he's less tame, so the fact that his tumah is a little less qualitatively, therefore, even though he's not allowed to be metamet to a mace, but at the very least, his kreifim, he'll be able to. That's definitely the Pashup Shah, stating that. If you take a look in the Sefer HaChinuch, and he talks about this in a few different places, the Chinuch says a different daher. He says that the reason that a Kohen Hedyed is allowed to be metame to one of his Kohen, even though technically he's a Kohen, and if he's a Kohen, he's Kaddish, and a Kaddish really is not allowed to be metame to a mace. It's because the Torah is Derachea Darchi Noyam V'chol Nesivoy Seh Ashalim. Because the Torah doesn't impose anything that's cruel and unusual. And if that's the case, you can't tell a Kohen who just lost one of his Kohen that you're not allowed to be near him. You can't be in the same oil as him. It's not fair. He just lost one of his Kohen. We have to allow him to mourn. We have to allow him to be together with his Ben Mishpacha that unfortunately he just lost. And it's the Derecher Darchi Noyam V'chol Nesivoseh Shalim of the Torah that the Torah said that a Kohen, even though he's Kaddish, and even though really he's not supposed to come in contact with the mace, but over here it's going to be okay. We're going to allow it to happen. Why? Because this is one of his Kohen. Stating that, when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, like said the Chinuch, the Torah didn't feel that it had to be matterit. Why? The reason is because the Kohen Gadol in the perfect world, the Kohen Gadol in the years of Bayis Rishon, where it was Yiras Hashem Toysef Yomim, the great Kohanim Gedolim that we had in our history, beginning with Aharon HaKohen, they were so dovik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Yispashet Legamre Miteva Bnei Yosh, V'yashkiach Milibay Kol Esek HaOlam Hazeh HaNifsad. He says the Kohen Gadol was so Kaddish and he was so dovik in his Ruchnius existence that the Kohen Gadol didn't feel that he had to be metame to his kreifim. Because at the end of the day, even his kreifim, and even though, of course, it's something that he's mourning, but the Kohen Gadol is locked in to something that's a higher existence. He's completely removed from this world. And as a result, he's removed from many of the hergeshim that people have in this world. The Kohen Gadol's madrega is a madrega that's lemailo lemailo. And as a result, it wasn't necessary, says the Chinuch, for the Torah to tell the Kohen Gadol he can be metamet to scribe. Meaning, lo'ilam, a Kohen should never be able to be metamet to a mace, even to a karev. But for a Kohen Hedyed, we have to allow him to. Because otherwise, it's unfair. And the Torah is darkin noyam. The Torah is Kol Nesivei Seh Hashon. But for the Kohen Gadol, it wasn't necessary. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol is a different Metzius. Ki Miroiv Dveikus Nafshay L'mailo Yispashay L'gamri Miteva Bnei Ish V'yashkiach Milibay Kol Esek Ha'olam Hazeh HaNifsad. And as a result, he had this Ben Mishpacha. Listen to this Lashon. Ki Kvar Hu Nifrad Mimenu Baydenu B'chayim. He was separated from this family member while he was alive too. He was Dovek Legamri in a whole different existence. And as a result, we don't have to allow him. There's no reason to be matrim to do this right now. This is what the Sefer HaChinuch says in Parashas Emor when he talks about this mitzvah that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be metamah even to a karev. It's mitzvah Reish Ayin. But the truth is that the Chinuch talks about this in another place. He talks about it in Parashas Nasai. Mitzvah Shin Ayin Vav. Over there he's not describing the Kohen Gadol, but he's talking about a Nazir. A Nazir is like a Kohen, he's a Kaddish, and he's not allowed to be metame to a mace. But a Nazir is not like a Kohen Hedyed. A Nazir is like a Kohen Gadol. The halacha is that a Nazir is not allowed to be metame even to one of his kreifim. In fact, there's a Mishnah, a whole perek in Mesechtis Nazir. The name of the perek is Nazir v'Kohen Gadol. What happens if a Nazir and Kohen Gadol are walking together and they see a mace mitzvah? So both of them are not allowed to be metame to a mace. Both of them are not allowed to be metame even to a karev. But both are allowed to be metame to a mace mitzvah. So here's the question: who should be metame to the mace mitzvah? Should the Nazir be metame to the mace mitzvah, or should the Kohen Gadol be metame to the mace mitzvah? Machlok is Tanam. It's a Mishnah in Shas, a perek called Nazir v'Kohen Gadol. But a Nazir is like a Kohen Gadol. Says the Chinuch. What's the pshat? A Nazir is like a Kohen Gadol. Why would he be like a Kohen Gadol? He says, if you would ask me, I would think he should be like a Kohen Hedyed. I don't even think he's a Kohen Hedyed. Why would it be a Kohen Gadol? So the Chinuch says a Dover Nifla. He says at the end of the day, a Kohen Hedid is a Kaddish. Of course, every Kohen is Kaddish. Kohanim have Kedusha. But at the same time, it's not Kedusha that they earned. It's Kedusha that they were born into. And as a result, just because someone's a Kohen, and just because he has a certain level of Kedusha, there's no guarantee that he's living his life in some elevated way. Just because he's a Kohen, what does that really mean? It just means he was born into, he got a head start in life. But at the same time, he needs to earn his keep if he's going to really cultivate the Kedusha that he has. He says, a Nazir, maybe in your mind, is not a Kohen. Aba Lamaisa, the Kedusha that he has, he earned. He woke up one morning and he decided that he wants to be Pirish from Tanuga Yoylam Haza. And there's a parish of Naziris that the Torah said, this is what you do. You say a rainy Nazir and you don't drink wine for 30 days. And then you don't go to a Beis HaKfaris and you grow your hair long. And that's Naziris. But the point is, whatever his Kedusha is, it's something that he developed on his own. So says the Chinuch, this Nazir who became a Kaddish on his own, he took upon himself this oath of Naziris. It's Yitachin that he's like the Kohen Gadol. And if he's like the Kohen Gadol, it's more real by him. And if it's more real by him, as a result, Allah is that not only can't he come in contact with a mace, but even with the Kerevim, doesn't this Nazir need the ability to mourn? No, he's like the Kohen Gadol. He's already Nifrad Mechayim. On some level, we can assume that this elevated existence that he's living, he's already separated himself from the people around him. And as a result, the halach is that we actually treat him like a Kohen Gadol. In other words, what makes the Nazir like the Kohen Gadol is that the Nazir and the Kohen Gadol, they both achieved Kedusha that came through Amelos. It's something that they worked on. And as a result, the Kedusha is a different type of Kedusha. We know for sure it's real. We know for sure it's meaningful by them. And because it's meaningful by them, therefore, we can say that don't be metame even to a Karev, as opposed to a Kohen Hedyot, where Mechatesi, it's true he's a Kaddish, but he just fell into it. He was born into it. Now, could be it's real, could be it's not. We don't know. And as a result, we allow him to be metame, we allow him to be metame even to a Karev. And recently, got a hold of a sefer, it's called Rapduni B'Tapuchen. It's Ala Torah, it was written by Rab Shlomo Arieli. It's Rab Shlomo Arieli, Rab Asher Arieli's brother. He's also the mechaber of the Blue Rab Kiva Egers. So Rab Shlomo Arieli, in Parshas Emor, right here in the beginning of this week's Parsha, so he said, brings this chinuch that we just mentioned, and he says that maybe there's a remnant to it. And that is, if you look in the beginning of Parshas Emor, so this is the Parsha that talks about the Kohanim, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Emor, like Kohanim B'nei Aharon, V'amarto Aleim L'nefesh Lo Yitame Ba'amov. And then the Torah goes on to say different halachas that a Kohen has to be careful of. And the reason is because he's a Kaddish. It says, Kedoshim yiyu leiloi keyem, v'lo yichalu Hashem elekeyem, kes ishe Hashem lechem elekeyem heim akrivim, v'hoyu Kaddish. It says again that he's a Kaddish. Ishe zoyne v'chalo lo yikachu, v'ishe grusha me ishe lo yikachu, ki Kaddish u leiloi kaf, v'kidashtoi. It says again, ki Kaddish ani Hashem mekaddishchem. Torah mentions seven times, said Rav Shlomo Arieli, that the Kohen Hedid is a Kaddish. The next parish in the Torah, literally, the next words, the Torah talks about the Kohen Gadol. And by the Kohen Gadol, it only mentions once that he's a Kaddish. It says it seven times by the Kohen Hedid. It says it one time by the Kohen Gadol. So he says, what's the pshat? We know seven is Teva. There's 7 days in the week. There's 7 notes of music. Seven is always Teva. And the number 7 in Svarim HaKadoshim, the number 7 always represents Teva. 8, that's Lamaila Minat Teva. So the Kohen Hedyot is a Kaddish, but his Kedusha works within the framework of Teva. He's still a family man. He's still a regular person. It's B'derech HaTeva, but within his tiviest existence, he's a Kaddish. So 7 times it says in the Torah, Kedoshim Yiyu, V'hayu Kaddish, Ki Kaddish Ulei Lekav, Ki Dashtoi, Ki Eslechem Elekecha Hu Makriv Kaddish, Ki Kaddish, Anei Hashem HaKaddish, it says it 7 times. But the Kohen Gadol, he's already L'mayla Min HaTeva. He's, like the Chinuch says, Ki Miroiv Dveikus Nafshoi L'mayla Yispashet L'gamrei Miteva B'nei Ish, V'yashkiach M'libei Kol Esek O'ilam Azeh Nifsat. He's already separated from Teva. He's going to mourn his Mishpacha, Kvar Hu Nifrat Mimenu Baydenu Achayim. He's L'mayla Min HaTeva. He's the 8th. Level of Kedusha. There's 7 levels of Kedusha. 7 levels of Kedusha as it relates to the Kohen Hedyot, but the Kohen Gadol is the 8th mention of the word Kedusha, because the Kohen Gadol is already on a higher Madrega. The truth is, The truth is, we mentioned this yesoid a little bit in the beginning of Perek Arbi Pesachim in the name of the Chassam Sofer. The pasuk says, "Ve'etnos alevim nesunim mitoich bnei Yisrael." It's a pasuk in Parshas Bahaloischa, and five times it mentions the word Yisrael. Now the pasuk is talking about the Levim, that the Levim was separated from Klal Yisrael. But five times in the parasha of the Levim, it mentions Yisrael. Says the Chassam Sofer, why? V'yesh loymer neged chamisha minei havdolos kedushos. It's connected to five havdolos. Klal Yisrael was separated min ha'amin, bin Yisrael ha'amin. The Shevet Levi was separated from within the Bnei Yisrael. The Kehanim was separated from within the Levian. The Kohen Gadol is separated from within the Kehanim. And what's the fifth? Oyla al Gabi Kulon. Yirei Hashem Baruchu Es Hashem. Hachshuva mi Kohen Gadol. The Yari Shemayim, he's the fifth Havdalah, and he's even greater than the Kohen Gadol. Why? Here's the one line. Kihu b'pchira v'yegiyah. Because he learned everything on his own. It has nothing to do with Toldos, nothing to do with his family, nothing to do with his Yichas. This is something that he took upon on himself. And because he came to it by himself, he's actually on the highest Madrega. The Kohen Gadol is more than the Kohen Hedyot. Of course he is. But the oimik of it is the Kohen Hedyot is someone that fell into it. Kohen Gadol achieved it on his own. The Nazir is the same way. That's why the Nazir is like the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Hedyot is allowed to be metama to his Karifim. The Kohen Gadol and the Nazir not. Because their level of Kedush is greater. You don't have to allow to be metama to his Karif. He already understands what it means to separate himself from Mitanuga El Mazir. The Kohen Hedyot, maybe not. Therefore, it's cruel and unusual to tell him not to be metama to his Karif. You have to allow him to do it. As opposed to the Kohen Gadol and the Nazir, they took upon themselves this Hecher of life, so you don't have to allow it to them. That's like the Yirei Hashem Baruchos Hashem. It's the fifth Havdalah that the Chassam Sofer talks about in Torah Smosha in Parashas Bahalaischa. But just to use this as a segue to number seven, that is, to a little bit of Inyana D'Yoyman. That is, this week is already Shfuah Shechalboi like Ba'omer. And like Ba'omer is the highlight, perhaps, of Sfiras HaOmer, and the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is very much a mitzvah that's associated with the number 7. It says in the Torah, "Sfartum lachem mimachas haShabbos miyoyim haviyachan es Omer haTenufa sheva Shabbosos temimos tiyana." The mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is Tisperu chamishim yoyim. That's true. You're supposed to count days. How many days? 50. Now 50. 50 minus 1. It's really 49. But there's also a mitzvah l'mimni shvui. Sheva Shabbosos temimos tiyana. We count 7 weeks. Each one of these 7 weeks is made up of 7 days. So just to share a little bit from the Torah of the Chassam Sofer as it relates to understanding Sfiras HaOmer, and specifically like Ba'omer, a little bit on a deeper level. Just to be makdim, it's yodua that the Chassam Sofer was not very fond of like Ba'omer, Miron, and the whole celebration that is the Yom HaDehilula of Atana HaKadosh or Aleki, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. The Chassam Sofer wrote about it in one of his most famous tshuvas. It's in Yeredeya Reish Lamed Gimel. He wrote the tshuva to his Talmud, Rav Amram Chasida, who he had encouraged to go move to Eretz Yisrael and to settle Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Amram Chasida settled in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. That's where the yishuv was. That's where the activity was. So he went to Miron Tzfas Tveri, and that's where Rav Amram Chasida was living. And the Chassam Sofer sent a letter to his Talmud, and he told him that, "I think you're making a mistake. I don't think you should be in Miron Tzfas Tveri. I think you have to go to Yerushalayim." And the Chassam Sofer, Kiyodua, was very instrumental in Yerushalayim being settled, finally, after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of it not being settled. And in this tshuva, he laid out his case to Rav Amram Chasida, why he thought it's so important for a Yid to live in Yerushalayim, even b'zman hazeh, meaning even after the Churban, and nothing to do with Machlekes Rambam, Rai, the Kedusha Rishayim, the Kitchel Hashayit, the Kitchel Lasot Lavek, nothing to do with Makriv and Afal Pisha in Bayis, but simply because a Yid belongs in Yerushalayim. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes in Reish Lamed Gimel to Rav Amram Chasida, again in Reish Lamed Dalet to Rav Ephraim Zalman Margolis, one of the Gedolei Hador. These are from the most famous tshuvas in Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. So Toich Dvarav, in the middle of the Chassam Sofer's argument to Rav Amram Chasida about why he doesn't understand that the Yidden are all settling in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, they're not in the south. So he says, "Omnam yodati ki shamati she'achshav achshadari." I heard the generations became a lot more chashuv, sarcastically. "Umimerchak yavoyu yidroishu es Hashem be'ira kodesh tzvas b'yoyim lag ba'omer behilula derash bizal." And I heard that people, they come from everywhere and they go to Tzvas, Miron, and they celebrate the yard center of Shimon Bar Yochai lag ba'omer. And he says, "V'im ki kol kavanosam l'shem shamayim, and that's poshut. I know their kavanos l'shem shamayim, and as a result, schorim rav b'li safek. That's what the Chassam Sofer said. It's poshut that they're going to get tremendous schar for what it is they do. Avo mitam ze ba'atzmoy, stating that hoyisi ani min aprushim. He says, I feel that it's the wrong thing, and I don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. And to be there during that time, I don't want to even have the Nesoyin. He says, because if I was in Miron Tzas Tveria, I wouldn't partake. He said, I wouldn't have anything to do with what's going on. And he goes on to say that regardless of the chashivos of the day, at the end of the day, we don't have a right to create a yontif on our own. And we have no right to take a day that historically was a chosh of a day, maybe, but to turn it into a yontif. Aval kfoya moyed b'yoyim shloy nasa b'ynes v'loy husker b'shasu poiskim b'shum mokim v'remez v'remiza lo yodana. He says, I'm unfamiliar with a source for that, and that's not something you should do. And then he says, but yodati v'ni yodati. He says, the lag b'oymer is hoyche b'hoyd, and it's a very, very holy day. And he goes on to talk about what a holy day it is. But again, just the last words of this part of the tshuva. But mikomokim lasoisa yoyim simcha v'hadloko ubemokim yadu adafka shiyit tel talpiyo ishakol nifnim l'sham, to turn this into a place that everybody wants to go to, lo yodati im rishon lasiskei. I don't even know if it's something that's mutter. This is Yaduah B'Shem D'Chassam Sofer. He spoke very, very sharp about it. But people sometimes conflate the fact that the Chassam Sofer didn't like the whole matziv with the fact that the Chassam Sofer acknowledges many times in the tshuva that Lag B'Omer is a very, very holy day. He's not saying anything about the day. He was talking about the matziv. He was talking about making it into a yontif. He was saying, "Lasoisa yoyim simcha vehadloka ubemakim yodua davka shiatel talpiyo ishakol niftan l'sham." Like to take one place that everybody focuses on. Again, this is dvarim atikin, dvarim shalach sam soifer. But again, the hakdama is that even though it's yodua b'shem the chsam soifer, this piece, but the chsam soifer never said anything about the yoyim d'hilul of Rashbi. He talks about hoyt shabahoyt. He says dvarim the flam in that piece. So with that background in mind, so the Chassam Sofer in Parashas Emor on the pasuk "Usfartem lochem mimachras haShabbos," so the Chassam Sofer says as follows. He says, "quote, he says that if you count the letters in the pasuk 'Usfartem lochem mimachras haShabbos ad haviyach Usfartem lochem mimachras haShabbos miyoyim haviyachem es oimer,' he says if you count those letters, it's 33 letters." What's the significance of 33 letters? It's a remez that even though we're going to count 49 days, but there's one day that is Mekudesh Tveh. There's one day that's holier than the other days. And that is the 33rd day. It's what we know as Lag B'Omer. And that's why Usfartem Lechem Mimachas HaShabbos Miyoyim HaViyachem Es Omer has Lamed Gimel Oisiyos L'Ramez, that there's a Yoyim Lamed Gimel in the Omer, and the Yoyim Lamed Gimel in the Omer is Mekudesh Tveh. Says the Chassam Sofer, I'm going to tell you another remez to this idea that Lag B'Omer is Mekudesh Tveh. So he says as follows. He says that even though we count 49 days to the Omer, but really, in Pnimiyas HaTorah, we're not counting 49 days. He says in Pnimiyas HaTorah, what we're counting is 343 days. That's what we're counting, 343 days. And he says, when you know that really you're counting 343 days, you're not really counting 49 days, you'll appreciate another Makar to why Lag B'Omer so chashiv. He says, because what's the remez to 343? He says, the word Omer is v'gematria 310. 310 plus 33 is 343. So the remez to the fact that you're not really counting 33 days, but rather you're not really counting 49 days, you're really counting 343 days, is an Omer plus Lamed Gimel. So why Chazal pick Omer plus Lamed Gimel? Why Lamed Gimel pick another day? Oh, it's because Lag B'Omer is the Mufcher of all the days. It's Mekudesh Tveh. And being that it's Mekudesh Tveh, that's why they pick Lamed Gimel. See, if Turim Muslim says the Chassam Sofer that the 33rd day of the Omer, the day of Hoyt Shabbat, is more Kaddish than all the other days. Usfartem lechem mimachas haShabbos miyom aviyochem es oimer. Count the letters, it's 33. And really, you don't count 49, you count 343. And the remez to 343 is oimer plus lamed gimel. That's lag oimer, right? Lag and oimer. But why lamed gimel must be? Because it's Kaddish Tveh. So Dr. Helge Chassam Sofer, these are just turim mazim to this idea that lag ba'oimer is a very, very, very holy day. So the question, what is this 343? Chassam Sofer says, you're not counting 49 days, but really you're counting 343 days. So the Chassam Sofer talks about it in the Chassam Sofer Al HaTorah. It's actually in Parshas Bahar. On the Pasuk, V'safarta l'cha sheva shabsoi shanim. That's where it is, not in Parshas Amar. It's in Parshas Bahar. And he talks about it in other places as well. So just a few pieces, al derech likut, from the Torah, the Chassam Sofer, could feel that maybe we're able to get a glimpse a little bit to what the Chassam Sofer is referring to. There's a pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya. The pasuk is in Yeshaya Perek Lamed. It says, "V'hoya oira levana ka'ira chama uka'or shiva va'ira chama yishiva sayim ka'or shiva sayom b'yom chavoy shashem es shever amoy u'machat makosa yirpa." So Yeshaya Hanavi is referring to some day that's going to be in Ba'achris Hayomim, in the end of days, La'osud Lavoi, and he says, V'hoya Oir HaLavona K'rachama. Today the moon is obviously a lot weaker than the sun. In fact, it's not even a source of light. It just reflects the light of the sun. But the Oir of the Lavona is going to be like the Oir of the Chama. What about the Oir of the Chama? So he says, V'Oir HaChama Yiyah Shiva Sayim Ka'or Shiva Sayomim. It's going to be Shiva Sayim Ka'or Shiva Sayom. So what does that mean? Pashut, it sounds like seven times Shiva Sayomim. Rashi, however, quotes Targum Yoinasin right here on the side of this pasuk. Zog Tehillah Rashi. Shiva Sayim means Sheva Shivios Ka'or Shal Shiva Sayomim. Hare Arboim Vitesha Shivios Ha'oilim L'sholesh Meis V'arboim V'shloisha. What it means is, the way the Chassam Sofer explains it, Shiva Sayim is not 7 times 7, but it's 7 times 7 times 7. That's what it means. It's 7 times 7 times 7. So if it's 7 times 7 times 7, if you do the math, back to the envelope, it's 343. So essentially what Yeshaya Novi was saying is, V'hoya Oira Alavana Ka'ira Chama. The Oira Alavana is going to be like the Oira Chama. What about the Oira Chama? It's going to be 343 times as strong as it is right now. The definition of Shiva Sayim in the Torah of the Chassam Sofer is 7 times 7 times 7. So it's going to be Shiva Sayim Ka'or Shiva Sayim. Today, every day has or 7 times 7 times 7. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be 343. There's another pasuk. A pasuk in Shoiftim Perikhe. The pasuk says, Kein yoivdu koloi vecho Hashem v'oyav of kitzeis Hashemesh b'gvurasai. For Oyavov are going to be Kitzeis Hashemesh Begvuras. This is again describing something that's going to happen Ba'achris Hayom in the world of La'asid Lava, in this metaphysical existence. For Oyavov are going to be Kitzeis Hashemesh Begvuras. What does this mean? That the Oyavim are going to be Kitzeis Hashemesh Begvuras? Zok Tehele Girashi, quoting again Targum Yoinasin, La'asid Lava, Oyavov are going to be Kitzeis Hashemesh Begvuras, Shiva Sayim Ka'or Shiva Sayom. Shehi Al Achas, Sholish Meyos, Varboim. Again, cryptic language, but the bottom line number is clear in Rashi. That V'oyav of Kitzeis Hashemesh B'Gvurasa is really a reference to this pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Lamed. V'oyav Oir HaLavana K'rachama, V'oyav Rachama Yiyah Shiva Sayim. What does Shiva Sayim mean? 7 times 7 times 7. It's going to be 343. So, V'oyav of Kitzeis Hashemesh B'Gvurasa, the Oyav Hashem, they're going to be Kitzeis Hashemesh B'Gvurasa, they're going to be Zoycha to an Oir that's going to be 343 times what the Oir is today. So the word Shiva Sayim, we know what it means. It means 343. It means not 7 times 7, but 7 times 7 times 7. And therefore, in Yeshaya Perek Lamed, Oir HaChama Yiyah Shiva Sayim, it's going to be 343 times the strength of the sun right now. And that's what the pasuk means in Yeshaya Perek Hei, V'oyav of Kintseis HaShemesh B'Gvurasai. So says the Chassam Sofer. There's another pasuk. And this isn't Sefer Tehillim, it's Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Zayin. Imrois HaShem, Amorois Tehoirois. Kesef Tzoruf, Ba'alil Oretz, Mizukok Shivasoy. So Imrois HaShem, Amorois Tehoirois. Talking about the Torah. Kesef Tzoruf, Ba'alil Oretz. It's refined. It's pure. How pure is the Torah? It's Mizukok Shivasoy. It's pure. It's refined Shivasayim times. What Shiva Sayim, says the Chassam Sofer, Rashi, Yishayi Perek Lamed, Shoifta Perek Hei, both times quoting Targum Yoinasin, it's 343. That's what it means. So that's the definition of the word Shiva Sayim. It's 7 times 7 times 7. That means the level of Tahira, of Torah, has to be Shiva Sayim. The idea of Sfiris HaOmer, says the Chassam Sofer, was the Yidin, They had to prepare themselves to be mekabel the Torah. They had to become tahar. The Yidden left Mitzrayim. They were in the Memtesh Sharei Tumah. And they had to leave the Sharei Tumah. And they had to now stomp, grow and strive and be able to enter Sharei Tahira and Sharei Kedusha. How many Sha'arim, how much Torah did they need? Oh, what do you mean? 49, everyone knows. It's Memtesh Sharei Tumah, connect the Memtesh Sharei Kedusha. No, it's more than that. It's Mizukah Shivasayim. It had to be 343. And so where's the 343? He says, because it's Yodua, he says, I'll be soit. That every single holy day, every Yom Kaddish, is really 7 days. What's the makar to that? The pasuk says, Sheva b'yoyim hilal ticha. What does it mean, Sheva b'yoyim hilal ticha? Sheva b'yoyim? What does that mean? The Sheva b'yoyim, every single day, is really made up of seven. A person who spends his day being Mahalal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so his one day becomes 7 days. He says, Ki Yodua. So he says, every Yom Kaddish is really 7 days. So he says, when we count Sfira, how many days are we counting? We're not counting 49 days. Because every day of Sfira is a day of Kedusha. It's a day that you're getting one day closer to Kabbalah Satayra. It's a day that you're working on yourself that much more. And really what we're doing is we're going to count every single day we count, we're counting 7 days. So we count Sheva Shabbosos, 7 times 7, but really it's 7 times 7 times 7. So that when we're mekabel the Torah, it could be Imris Hashem Amoris Tohoiros, Kesef Tzorif Balila Oretz Mezukok Shiva Soyim. It's like this, we can go and be mekabel the Torah. That's Mezukok Shiva Soyim. It's refined with 343 levels of Tahira. That's the way we can now go ahead and be mekabel the Torah. So like this, we'll be able to mekabel it in the same way. And how do we do that? We prepare ourselves with Omer. What do you mean? I thought Sphere is 49. No, it's really 49 times 7 because Sheva Bayoy. Every single day of Kiddush is really 7. So it ends up being 343 days. Says the Chassam Sofer that with this you can understand why Moshe Rabbeinu was Moisef Yoy Mecha. He says, why was Moshe Moisef Yamecha Midaitah? He says, because if there were 343 days from the Yidden started counting when they left Mitzrayim until Kabbalah Satorah, that would mean Yom Kabbalah Satorah would have been day 344. 344 is Shin Mem Dalet. Shin Mem Dalet, that's not a good day. Ki Yodua. That's why we even say Shin Dalet Mem. We stay away from Shin Mem Dalet. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want Kabbalah Satorah to be on the Yom Shin Mem Dalet. So what did he do? He was Moisef Yamecha Midaitah. And instead of it being on the day of Shin Mem Dalet, it ended up being on the day of Shin Mem He. Remez Ledovar, Moshe is Gematria, is Shin Memhe. It's 345. And that's all a remez that Moshe Rabbeinu understood that this day wasn't a good day. Because it was the 344th day from when the Yidden left Mitzrayim. That was the 344 days. Oh, because 49 days, but every day is times 7. Because it's Mezukah Shiva Sayim. Because every day was a day of Ketusha, of the Yidden getting closer and closer to Hashem. As a result, it was literally every single day was Sheva Bayoyim. If every day was Sheva Bayoyim, so it's 343. Now this is already a dangerous day. This going to be 344. If it's 344, so the Chassam Sofer said, Moshe Rabbeinu had to stay away from that day. But he says another Davar Nifla in this Shmuz. And that is, he brings from his Rebbe Da'afla, that his Rebbe Da'afla teached, Mizma L'Dovid, Hashem Roi Lo Yechzar. We all know the Pesukim. Benois Deshe Yar Bitzeini, Almei Menucha Yisina Aleini. So he said, Da'afla teached like this. He said, Mizma L'Dovid, Hashem Roi Lo Yechzar. David Melch turns to Hashem and he says, Hashem Roy, Hashem, you're my shepherd, Loyach, I'm not missing anything. He says, I don't need anything. I don't need Olam Hazeh. All I need is you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Loy Echzer. Bina'oiz Desha. What's Desha? Desha is gruz. Esev, it's grass. He says, Bina'oiz Desha Yarbitzeini. If I have grass, I'll may menucha yisina aleini. I'll be fine. He says, I don't need anything. Hashem Roy lo yechzar. I'm a mistapik b'mu'ud. He said, David HaMelech proclaimed the ultimate histapkus. He said, lo yechzar, I'm not missing anything. Benois desha. Let me be grazing in the grass. I'll be fine with that. It'll be as if I'm a mei menucha yisina aleini. I have no issue. Stating that, said Afla, in the next pasuk, Nafshi Yeshoivev, Yan Chenik Pimaglet Tzedek Laman Shemoy. What does Yeshoivev mean? So he says, it's Miloshin, it's a flam fire. He says, my nefesh, that's Yeshoivev. He said, physically, my Oilam Hazeh, Hashem Royu Lo Yechzar, Benoiz Deshe Yar Bitzeni, Almei Menuchah Yisin Aleh. He said, I don't need anything. Benoiz Deshe Yar Bitzeni, that's Lo Yechzar. But Ruchnius, Nafshi Yeshoivev. He says, nah, my nefesh, I'm like a fire, I just want more and more and more. That's what Davinov told Hashem. I don't need Oilam Hazeh, I'm okay with that. But my Oilam Haba, my nefesh, it wants you so badly. That's the Nafshi Yeshoivev. So Chassam Sofer says, that's what he was makabu mimori virabi aflo. He says that I want to continue and teach the pasuk. David HaMelech continued. He said, "Gamki eilech begeitz al maves See, he brings that the Smag says that even though we have 613 mitzvahs, right? We have 613 mitzvahs, but in Golus, many of the mitzvahs, in fact, most of the mitzvahs can't even be Makai. So how many mitzvahs do we have? So he says, the Smag, we have 270 mitzvahs. Smag means the Cheshbon. He says, we have 270 mitzvahs. That's how many mitzvahs we have in Golos. So said the Chsam Sofer. That's what David HaMelech continued. He said, Gam ki eilech begeit samavis. I'm begeit samavis, I'm in Golos. He said, lo yira. I'm not afraid. You want to know why? Because ra. Because I have Reish Ayin. Reish Ayin is 270. It's the 270 mitzvahs. Kiato Yimadi. Through the Reish Ayin. Through the Reish Ayin, it's Kiato Yimadi. Said the Chsam Sofer, he brings from the Megala Mukas, that the Megala Mukas said that that's Pshat in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Ani Yeshena, V'libi Er, Kol Doidi Doifek, Pischi Li'achoisi Rayosi, Yoinosi Tamasi. But Shlomo HaMelech said, Ani Yesheina V'libi Er. So the Magal HaMukra said, Ani Yesheina, was referring to Golas. In Golas, Ani Yesheina, Meshluft in Golas. Right? The Yesheina and the Havle Azma, like the Rambam says. We're all sleeping in Golas. Of a V'libi Er, my heart is awake. Er said the Megala Mukas is Reish Ayin. Because even in Golas, we have 270. And because we have the Reish Ayin in Golas, so that's why we had, so said the Chsam Sofer, so we have 270 mitzvahs in Golas. There's 613 mitzvahs in total. How many mitzvahs are we missing? 343. 613 minus 270 is 343. He says, that's the oimik in the psukim in Yeshaya. That's the oimik in the psukim in Shoftim. That's the oimik in Va'ora Levono. It's going to be Ka'ora Chamo. But what about the Ora Chamo? It's going to be Shiva Sayim, Ka'ora Shiva Simei Abereshus. What's this R? What's this 343? What does that number even mean? 340, where did you come up with such a number? Shiva Sayim, what's the significance of that? What's the V'oyav of Kitzei Sashemesh B'Gvurasoy? What's that Kedusha and that Or that we're going to be Zoichetu? It's the 343 mitzvahs that we don't have. Right now, it's Gam Kielich B'Gei Tzamov Esla'ira Ra. All I have is Reishayin. Now it's Ani Yeshein of Ali B'Er. All I have is Reishayin. But V'oyav of Kitzei Sashemesh B'Gvurasoy says eventually we're going to end up with 270. He brings that the Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Basra Daf Ches Amid Beis. That Talmidei Chachamim are zoich in this world to va'oyav of Kitzei Sashemesh B'Gvurasa. We're going to have a similar Gemara coming up soon in Yuma. But it's a Gemara of a Bastard of Ches HaMedes. That the Talmidei Chachamim in this world, they have va'oyav of Kitzei Sashemesh B'Gvurasa. So Chesam Sofer, what's the Hesber? The Hesber is, because we only have 270 mitzvahs. However, it's shayich to have the other 343 mitzvahs. How? If you learn, because kol oisik b'toyer sa oyla skilei kriv oyla, and kol oisik b'toyer sa chatos is skilei kriv chatos. So the talmidei chachamim dafka, that's the lashon of the gemara. The rabbonim, the talmidei chacham, the ones that learn Torah, they can be zoicha to va'oyav of kitzei sa shemesh b'gvurasa in this world, because va'oyav of kitzei sa shemesh b'gvurasa is the shin mem gimel. It's the 343 madregas. It's the 343 that we don't have. That's missing from the 613. Those 343 madregas will be a person can get if he's oisik b'toyer. And this is the Chesam Sofer L'Shitasa, like we spoke about in the introduction to Masechta Shkolim, Ubeshar Mekoymas, that says that Kol Oisik is not only true for Karbonis, it's true for all mitzvahs. It's another makar to this. That you see that they can have the V'oyav of Kitzei Sashemesh B'Gvurasa, the 343 how? By doing the mitzvahs. Either way, said the Chesam Sofer, that's the Oimek of 343. So when we're counting Sviras HaOimer, we're counting 49 days. But in Pnimiya Satayra, we're really counting 343 days. Because every day of the Omer is a day of Kedusha, and every day of Kedusha is Sheva Bayoim, which is really 7 days. So it's 7 times 7 times 7. It's really 343. What's the Remez Ladavar? The Remez Ladavar is Omer is Begamatria 310 plus 33. Why would we pick 33? Because that's the holiest of all the days. And because that's the holiest of all the days, that's why it's 343. Just to be Messiah with one last short ha'ara, and that is the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were in the Memtesh Shari Tumma. And they had to wait 49 days in order for them to receive the Torah. Why? Because they had to go from being in the Memtesh Shari Tumma to being in the Memtesh Shari Kedusha. But if you think about it, it really doesn't make sense. Because they needed 49 days to get from the Shar Memtes of Tumah to be status quo, and then another 49 days to go from ground zero to the Shar Memtes of Kedusha. So the Chayr, it shouldn't have been 49 days, really it should have been 98 days. But the Teretz is that you see from here, say the Svarim, that really every single Yid is really in the Shar Memtes of Kedusha. We're born yashar, and we could do a person could do all the averus in the world. All he's able to do is really to coat the kedusha that he has with tumah, a little more tumah, and a little more tumah. But deep down, the yid isn't just a pintle of yid. A yid is deep down in the mentes of kedusha. It's just sometimes it gets covered with so much chazarai that you pasha can't find it. You have to be baidik b'chayri stokim to be able to find it. But deep down, every yid has mentes sha'arim of kedusha. And as the yidin left Mitzrayim, and every single day they worked on another level of tumah, as they removed the level of tumah, you know what happened? There was a level of kedusha that suddenly appeared. They didn't have to go now and acquire the memtesh shari kedusha. They had the memtesh shari kedusha. It was just covered. All the yidden had to do was peel away another layer and another layer and another layer. And as the yidden peeled away all these layers, they went from being in the memtesh shari tumah, not just to the memtesh shari kedusha, but they were mesukah shiva sayim. They went to a madreig of kedusha. 343, a madrega v'oyav of kitzei sashemesh, bigvurasai. We'll stop here.